This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate. European politics causes financial market tremors this morning. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Turbulent financial markets in Europe are setting a risk-averse mood among market players around the world this morning. The key index in Italy is down 2.4%. Spain was down 2.4%. London's FTSE index down 1.4%. Italian bonds sagged and their yields soared today. The euro is a deal for Americans, with the European single currency down at $1.16. To explain, let's bring in Jasper Lawler, head of research at London Capital Group. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
Politics is part of the sentiment today, right? I'm thinking Italy, I'm thinking Spain.
It's really the prospect of fresh elections once again. In Spain, we have a no-confidence vote in Mariano Rajoy, the Prime Minister of Spain. If, in fact, this no-confidence vote leads to him being turfed aside, obviously that leads to a new election to find his replacement. And in Italy, the president continues to block the way the two coalition populist parties are trying to form a government. And if he does continue to block every scenario they put forward, again, fresh elections probably likely.
And we don't know where any of this goes, which is another way of saying uncertainty. And you can see that in stock prices. You can see this in, for instance, Italian bond yields, which are shooting upward.
Well, absolutely. And a lot of this uncertainty, when it's from a market's perspective, comes down to the euro. Now, these populist parties are there threatening, both in Spain and Italy, their part in the eurozone. But as we see this increasing political crisis engulfing Europe, actually the euro seems to be at the head of the storm at the moment. So that dollar really strengthening up against the euro, to the strongest for the dollar and the weakest for the euro in several weeks.
Jasper Lawler at London Capital Group, thank you for this briefing.
Thank you, David.
Now, later this week, we'll get some insight into consumer attitudes when Costco's results hit the wires. This is Costco, the retailer, not Costco, the shipping company, by the way. Costco doesn't sell everything, but it has deals for those who pay the yearly subscription charge and don't mind buying a ton of one thing. As Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports, Costco is facing intense competition.
In this age of Amazon, the retail competition juggernaut, Costco's holding its own. Its earnings last quarter came in a bit below expectations, but the stock is still up a lot more than competitors like Walmart and Target over the last 5 years. Mark Cohen directs retail studies at Columbia Business School. He says Costco has managed to expand its in-store business and membership, while online,
they have gone into the internet space in an increasingly aggressive way. They haven't relied upon it to prop up their business, as most others have done.
David Schick at Consumer Edge Research says Costco's pulled off something that's often difficult for public companies answerable to shareholders.
What you're really seeing is a company that has suppressed its bottom line through constant reinvestment over the decades, investing in people, investing in the merchandise.
Schick says that shows up in improved employee retention and satisfaction and helps keep prices down. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
We recently heard from Fran in New York, New York, who wanted to let us know that she appreciates Marketplace's in-depth reporting and that we help her better understand the economic and political issues of the day. To join Fran in supporting trustworthy, objective journalism, donate online at marketplace.org. Thanks to all the Marketplace investors who make our work possible. We always keep in mind here that while everyone has a stake in financial markets, a very large percentage of Americans do not own stocks. Fed data show that just 14% of families own stock directly. Just 52% have a retirement account. Reporter Jake J. Smith has some new thinking about this.
Since high school, Sebastian Jones has been fascinated by the stock market.
My parents used to think that I was in the basement on AOL Instant Messenger all the time, and I was actually looking up company information.
Today, Jones is 31 and does clerical work in California. But a few big barriers can stop even business nerds like him from investing. Like money. He says until recently, spare cash went to supporting his mom and siblings, not buying stock. He's also never had a job with a 401k. Meanwhile, trading on his own and having to pay for every trade
doesn't appeal to someone like me who didn't come from means.
He's not alone. More than 70% of stock value belongs to the richest 5% of households. And
rates of stock ownership are much higher among white households and much lower among Black and Hispanic households.
Michelle Morado is a sociologist who studies wealth at the University of Alberta. And she says these trends can reinforce inequality. After all, if African Americans like Jones aren't investing, it may be harder for them to create wealth. But Jones was determined to defy the odds. Last year, he bought stock for the first time. Some Snapchat, Salesforce.
Roku. I am huge on Roku.
So what changed? Jones got a smartphone app called Robinhood that offers free trading, though it does charge for longer trading hours and other perks. It's one of several fast-growing investment apps, along with Acorns and Stash. These apps allow for varying degrees of risk. And University of Pennsylvania economist Olivia Mitchell warns, whether people build wealth is going to depend on how they use them. Picking stocks one by one is risky.
I would rather have people just try to pick low-cost investments, index funds.
Robinhood offers those too, although it declined to say how many users invest in them. What the company did tell us, half of its 4 million users are first-time traders. In Chicago, I'm Jake J. Smith for Marketplace.
We're also covering this afternoon's brief shutdown of Starbucks planned for today as employees in company-run stores nationwide get anti-bias training after that mess in Philadelphia this spring. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.